Well, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. This is where we're going to start at this morning because you know what? Christmas season is here. Right, yeah. It's hard to believe that this year is almost over. We are rapidly approaching 2023. That's crazy, right? But we can see and hear evidence of the Christmas season all around. Of course, not just in here, but I remember going to a Walmart. I think it was in Aberdeen or Rapid City. I don't remember where I was at. But anyway, I went to a Walmart sometime August or September, and they already were putting Christmas stuff out. I'm like, y'all are nuts. And it's your fault that we get snow so early in South Dakota because you're putting Christmas stuff out so early. But anyway. We're beginning a new series this morning, looking at the main themes at the very heart of Christmas and this holiday season with all of the tinsel, with all the trees, with all the treats. We can easily get distracted from what really matters, and that's Jesus. During this series, we're going to look at how hope, peace, joy, and love are at the heart of Christmas. And this morning, we're going to discover the hope that comes to us through the birth of Jesus. And I just realized I better move that back because I'm getting ready to light a candle. And I don't want to set my Bible on fire. That would be weird. I don't know what kind of sign that would be. That Jesus says, I am the light of the world, right? All right. So this morning we're looking at hope, and hope is the very first Advent candle that we get to light this season. And I'm sure that all of us could use a little hope this Christmas season. And, you know, we can learn a lot about having hope by watching the way that children embrace the holiday season. Nothing says hope like the list of wants that a kid creates around the Christmas season. We had a tradition in our family. I don't know where it came from. I don't know. Maybe it was just something new that we came up with, or I don't. Maybe it was Rebecca's family did this too. But we would open one gift on Christmas Eve. It's kind of a fun thing that we did with Nick when he was young. And one year, Nick was somewhere between the ages 3 and 6. I don't remember exactly how old he was, but we let him pick which gift he was going to open. Well, he picked this poorly wrapped little bundle. I probably wrapped it. We knew what it was, of course, because we had wrapped it. So we attempted to sway Nick to pick something else, but he was persistent. He wanted to open this one. I don't know what drew him to that one, but he wanted that one. So we figured, all right, well, this is going to be a lesson when mom and dad try and convince you to do something else, that maybe you should listen and do what we suggest instead of this thing that we know isn't going to be the best thing for you or the thing that you're going to like. So he opens this poorly wrapped bundle of AA batteries. And as he does, his face lights up. And what we thought was going to be this moment of immense disappointment was actually a moment of joy and a confident expectation, because with this giant grin on his face, he says, I'm getting something that needs batteries. The true reason there is hope at the heart of Christmas is not because of the gifts, but because of the birth of Jesus. His arrival on the earth was the fulfillment of a prophecy that was spoken hundreds of years before his birth. And that prophecy is actually one of the most well-known scripture passages that's shared during this time of year. And it's where we're going to begin our journey this morning. All right, so Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice over you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now the backdrop to Isaiah's writing, which was around 740 BC, was poor leadership. The people of Israel had been suffering through the reigns of four ungodly kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. They were corrupt and had led the people far from God. It was a very dark time in history. Isaiah wrote these words knowing God would have to intervene in order to bring Israel back to himself. The kingdom was crumbling and the people needed hope. This passage makes two major statements. The first is an acknowledgement of the brokenness and darkness that surrounded Israel due to sin and corruption. The second is the hope of a dawning light through the birth of a child who would one day make everything right. The Jewish people in the Old Testament needed these words to remind them that God had not forgotten about them. Now, the book of Matthew also reminds us of Isaiah's writing. And the gospel writer was making the connection between what Isaiah had prophetically written and what had taken place in a manger in Bethlehem. Flip on over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. A young Jewish man named Joseph was presented with a very difficult decision to make. He was engaged to be married to a woman named Mary, but she was already pregnant. This was a problem. He had planned to just call it all off because it appeared that his bride-to-be was being unfaithful. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream and he said, go ahead with it. It's okay. Because the child that she's carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And all of these events took place to fulfill the prophecy from the Old Testament, which claimed that there would be a child born as a light in the darkness and a hope for all people. The child would be named Emmanuel, which means God with us, even in the midst of darkness. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, the first point that I want to make here is that the presence of darkness threatens our hope. The presence of darkness threatens our hope. The center of the Christmas story is focused squarely on the birth of Jesus. He's the fulfillment of the Israelites' hope that God would push back the darkness and shine a bright light into the world. One of the reasons Christmas resonates in our hearts is because we too live in a world that is similar to what Israel was dealing with. Our world, our culture is dark and it's corrupt because of the sin that so easily entangles us. There's war, disease, conflict, and oppression all around us. We, like Israel, are in need of the Christ child to usher in a light to push back the darkness around us. Christmas is a reminder that whatever it is we hope for in our lives, healing, restoration, forgiveness, maybe even a fresh start, it's available to us through Emmanuel, who is God with us. Hope is not a result of the absence of conflict, difficulty, struggle, or trial. Hope is a result of the presence of God. Hope is that confident expectation, just like what Nick had when he was a kid opening those batteries going, hey, I'm getting something with that needs batteries. We know, we can trust that what God's word says is true. And we have that confident expectation of the fulfillment of what God says is going to happen. So hope is a result of the presence of God. And God's presence, this is point two, God's presence has come to give us hope. That's awesome, right? God's presence has come to give us hope. The hard part about hope is that it often takes longer than we would like to be fulfilled, right? Like the Jewish people experienced, hope requires some patience. There's a common plant that grows in the southwest desert of the United States called the Agave Americana. And go ahead and flip to the next slide so we can see this thing. It's also known as the century plant. And it thrives in rocky, dry, and mountainous desert regions. And it grows these giant splayed leaves. Right? Those things are huge. And those leaves can be about a foot wide. The plant can reach 12 feet in diameter and grow to be 6 feet tall. That's huge, right? That's like here. And two of me wide, right? That's ginormous. But that's not the most interesting thing about it. The most unusual thing is its long reproduction cycle. For about 20 to 30 years, it looks like this, the picture on the left. It stays the same height. It has no flowers. But suddenly, and without warning, a new bud will sprout. Resembling a tree trunk-sized asparagus spear, it will rise into the sky at a rate of about 7 inches per day until it looks like the other picture. 20 to 40 feet. That's huge. Then it culminates with a crown of several clumps of yellow blossoms that last for about 3 weeks. Similar to the century plant, some of the greatest answers to our hoping and longing take time and patience in order to see the beauty unfold. You can go and skip forward again, sir. Isaiah saw that one day in the future, God would bring a great light and salvation through the birth of a child. It wasn't until hundreds of years later that Matthew recorded Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Jesus is the very presence of God on earth. He offers forgiveness of sin, destruction of evil, and the promise of eternal life. So why do we read Isaiah's prophecy every year during the Christmas season? It's because seeing the faithfulness of God in the past gives us a deep and abiding hope in the present and an unwavering trust for the future. The Apostle Paul made an appeal for hope to those who trust in Christ as he wrote a letter to the early church in Rome. So Romans chapter 15, just one verse out of this we're going to look at for just a moment. It's verse 4 of Romans 15. Paul writes, "For whatever is written," ooh, I misquoted that, "for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Paul said everything that had been written in the past, all of it, all the prophecy and all the fulfillment of the prophecies, all of it is meant to teach us how to hold on to our faith in God to answer our prayers. We can know that because God said all this stuff in the past and he fulfilled everything that he said, that when we pray, we can know that he's going to answer. What has been written gives us endurance and encouragement that we might have hope. It's important that we revisit the prophetic words of the Old Testament and the fulfillment that comes through the birth of Jesus, because it reminds us that God can be trusted to come through and meet us in our greatest time of need, which is our last point. At the heart of Christmas is hope. The heart of Christmas is hope. There are a lot of distractions during the Christmas season. Our message this morning is a reminder that hope is offered to us through Jesus' arrival in the manger. That's the thing that matters. Above everything else, above all of the pulls from family to go visit, the whines from the kids saying, "I want," the desires to spoil the grandkids, above all of it, Jesus is the center. And Jesus is the hope. And at the heart of Christmas is hope. Right? Dr. James Dobson relates his story of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope, who was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died just a few months prior. Several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal weather system. She felt terribly alone. So much so that she decided she wasn't even going to decorate for Christmas. Late that afternoon, the doorbell rang and there was a delivery boy with a box. Said, "Mrs. Thornhope, would you sign here?" And she invites this young man in and closes the door behind him to get him out of the cold. She signs the paper and said, "What's in the box?" So the young man laughed and opened the flap, and inside was this little golden Labrador retriever. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from captivity. And, you know, we had a little yellow golden that Lindsay had rescued for a little while, was doing some training with. And when I read this story, I imagined this dog was dumber than a box of rocks, but I imagined the tail, you know, just whipping. And this thing would run down the hallway of our house, that tail wagging so hard and so fast, even his rear end was shifting. And it would just, you'd hear thop, 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 as his tail was bouncing off the walls running down the hallway. But he was always so happy. And then he would slide into the wall at the end of the hallway. You know, it was, I'm sure you've seen those kind of dumb dogs, but this one, I can see that tail flopping and probably his tongue whopping all over the place and just being so excited to be out of the box. So Mrs. Thornhope asked, "Who sent this?" The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope and said, it's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." The young man handed her a book that said, titled, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." In desperation, she asked again, "Who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened a letter, which was written by her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he had died and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him in heaven. He had sent her this puppy to keep her company until then. Well, she wiped away her tears, put the letter down, and then remembered the puppy at her feet. She picked up the little golden fuzzball and held it to her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house, and she heard a strain from the radio of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of hope wash over her. Her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than all of her grief and loneliness. "Little fellow," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement I bet you'd like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and lights that are going to impress you. They're going to blow your little puppy mind. There's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it. It's all about timing. It's about timing. Our God is always right on time. He knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. And he can be trusted to reveal the light of Christ in order to push back the darkness of our lives. In a land full of deep darkness, a light has indeed dawned. Here in just a moment, I want to invite you to express your hope in the Lord this morning by bringing him things that weigh heavy on your heart. And I'm going to open this up. I'm going to start our process of prayer together. And then we're going to have a moment where I'm silent. That's your opportunity to lift those things up to the Lord. We'll take a few moments of being silent before the Lord and allow you to bring those things up to him, and then I will close us out in prayer. All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in need of hope. Hope that you are faithful and have provided all we need by sending Jesus to us. We ask that the light of his life would shine into our lives and lift our heads. We offer you now, Lord, the areas of our lives where we need your presence. We trust you today with our very lives, and we look forward to seeing how you will come through. And we thank you for the hope that we can that can only come from you. And thank you for showing us hope is at the heart of Christmas. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.